Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Mem Rabbi Avraham Goldar and today Masechus Yevamos Daf Tes Vav. The first parak, Chamishas Reinashim. The first parak has been generously sponsored as a schus for Mordechai Chaim ben Esther and as a schus for Shidduch Hagon for Leah bas Esther. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara continues the discussion whether Beis Shammai followed their own opinion and brings a brisa that states Rabbi Tarfon, who was a Talmud of Beis Shammai, said, "Tevani masai tavu tzar sabas yadi v'asa'ana. I desire the Talmud that Sarah of my daughter, who's currently married to my brother, will fall into my hand, and I will marry her in Yibum." Now, since marrying a tzara of an erva is only permitted, according to Beis Shammai, this is proof that Beis Shammai followed their own opinion. When the Gemara attempts to reject this proof by amending the brisa to read Vasiena, and I will marry her off to someone else without doing Chalisa, which would be permitted according to Beis Hillel, it objects, for Rabbi Tarfon said, "Te'avani, I desire," which implies that he intended to do something novel and not merely follow Beis Hillel's opinion, which everyone followed. The Gemara answers, Rabbi Tarfon sought to preclude the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who attempted to accommodate the views of both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel by requiring every tzara do chalitza. By stating that chalitza is not necessary, Rabbi Tarfon is showing that he disagreed with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's suggestion. Point number two, Mar Zutra attempted to show that Beis Shammai followed their own opinion based on the following brisa: Maisa Bishokas Yehu, Shaitz Bishalayim. There was an incident with Yehu's trough in Yerushalayim, which was connected to an adjoining mikveh. And all the tower of foods were prepared there, meaning that their kalim were immersed there. And Beis Shammai sent and widened it, for he held that it's not a valid mikveh until the majority of the dividing wall is broken so that the waters mix over a large area and not just through a hole. Since it was learned in another Mishnah mikvos that the mingling of the waters between two mikvos can happen through a hole, the size of a leather skin's bottle tube, including its thickness and its hole, which is equivalent to the area in which two fingers can rotate, it's clear that Beis Shammai followed their own ruling. The Gemara rejects this proof, saying, "Haro omer lafushi mai hu deka avid." One who sees a Talmud of Beis Shammai breaking open the wall of Yehu's trough would say that he's doing it to increase the amount of water in the trough. And point number three, after proving that Beis Shammai did follow their own opinions, the Gemara brings another proof. Rabbi Yeshua was asked, "Tzara sabas mahu, what's the halacha regarding the tzara of one's daughter? Is one permitted to her in Yibum?" He answered that Samachos was Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, and when pressed regarding who the halacha follows, he answered, "Mifnei ma'atem machnisin roshi ben shnei harim gadoim. Why are you putting my head between two great mountains, between the two great factions of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? Ziyara anishema yorotsu gugalti. I'm afraid that they might crush my skull." Rashi explains that if he ruled in favor of Beis Hillel, then those who are rendered to be mamzerim might kill him. "Ava animei lachem ashti mishpachos gadol shahayu b'shalayim. But I can testify to you about two great families in Yerushalayim, shehem b'nei tzaros, umehem kohanim gadoim v'shimshu al gabei hamizbech, that there are descendants of tzaros who had remarried without a chalitza, and from them came kohanim gadoim who served upon the mizbech." The Gemara explains that if you say that Beis Shammai followed their own opinion, that is why Rabbi Yeshua was afraid that those rendered mamzerim might kill him. But if Beis Shammai followed Beis Hillel, what was he afraid of? So once again, the three points are: number one, the Gemara continues the discussion whether Beis Shammai followed their own opinion and brings a brisa that states Rabbi Tarfon, who was a Talmud of Beis Shammai, said, "Te'evani masai tavu tzar sabas yadi v'asa'ana. I desire the Talmud that Sarah of my daughter, who's currently married to my brother, will fall into my hand and I will marry her in Yibum." Now, since marrying a tzara of an erva is only permitted according to Beis Shammai, this is proof that Beis Shammai followed their own opinion. When the Gemara attempts to reject this proof by amending the brisa to read Vasiena, and I will marry her off to someone else without doing Chalisa, which would be permitted according to Beis Hillel, it objects, for Rabbi Tarfon said, "Te'avani, I desire," which implies that he intended to do something novel and not merely follow Beis Hillel's opinion, which everyone followed. The Gemara answers, Rabbi Tarfon sought to preclude the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, who attempted to accommodate the views of both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel by requiring every tzara do chalitza. By stating that chalitza is not necessary, Rabbi Tarfon is showing that he disagreed with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's suggestion. Point number two, Mar Zutra attempted to show that Beis Shammai followed their own opinion based on the following brisa: Maisa Bishokas Yehu, Shaitz Bishalayim. There was an incident with Yehu's trough in Yerushalayim, which was connected to an adjoining mikveh, and all the tower of foods were prepared there, meaning that their kalim were immersed there, and Beis Shammai sent and widened it, for he held that it's not a valid mikveh until the majority of the dividing wall is broken so that the waters mix over a large area and not just through a hole. since it was learned in another Mishnah Mikvos that the mingling of the waters between two mikvos can happen through a hole, k'shofaris hanod ba'ovya b'chalul k'shtei etzba'os, the size of a leather skin's bottle tube, including its thickness and its hole, which is equivalent to the area in which two fingers can rotate, it's clear that Beis Shammai followed their own ruling. The Gemara rejects this proof, saying, Haro omer lafushi mai hu deka'avid. One who sees a Talmud of Beis Shammai breaking open the wall of Yehu's trough would say that he's doing it to increase the amount of water in the trough. And point number three, after proving that Beis Shammai did follow their own opinions, the Gemara brings another proof. Rabbi Yeshua was asked, Tzara sabas mahu, what's the halacha regarding the tzara of one's daughter? Is one permitted to her in Yibum? He answered that Samacho is Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, and when pressed regarding who the halacha follows, he answered, Mifnei ma'atem machnisin roshi ben shnei harim gadoim. Why are you putting my head between two great mountains, between the two great factions of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? Ziyara anishema yorotsu gugalti. I'm afraid that they might crush my skull. Rashi explains that if he ruled in favor of Beis Hillel, then those who are rendered to be mamzerim might kill him. But I can testify to you about two great families in Yerushalayim, that there are descendants of Tzaros who had remarried without Chalitza, and from them came Kohanim Gadoim who served upon the Mizbeach. The Gemara explains that if you say that Beis Shammai followed their own opinion, that is why Rabbi Yeshua was afraid that those rendered Mamzerim might kill him. But if Beis Shammai followed Beis Hillel, what was he afraid of? All right, so now we go to Simmer Daf Tezvav, and our standard simmon is a fruit bowl, because Tezvav reminds us of Tu B'Shvat, the fruit of Tu B'Shvat, and we use a fruit bowl to make it a little more distinct. So here goes. The rabbi who bought a fruit bowl as a gift in anticipation of marrying off his daughter's tzara and tovled it in Yehu's trough, where the dividing wall was broken open, refused to answer a shaila about whether Tzara Sabas is Mutter and Yibum, out of fear that someone might want to crush his skull. Once again, in slow motion. The rabbi who bought a fruit bowl, that must be learned of Tezvav. The rabbi who bought a fruit bowl as a gift in anticipation of marrying off his daughter's tzara, which reminds us, the Gemara continues the discussion whether Beis Shammai followed their own opinion and brings a brisa that states Rabbi Tarfon, who was a Talmud of Beis Shammai, said, Te'avani masay tavu tzara sabas l'yadi v'ase'ena, I desire the time when the tzara of my daughter, who is currently married to my brother, will fall into my hand and I will marry her in Yibum, since marrying a tzara of an Arab is only permitted according to Beis Shammai. This is proof that Beis Shammai followed their opinion. The Gemara answered, Rabbi Tarfon said, Va'asiena, and I will marry her off to someone else without doing chalitza, which would be permitted according to Beis Hillel. And Rabbi Tarfon sought to preclude the opinion of Rabbi Yochum and Nuri, who attempted to accommodate the views of both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel by requiring every tzara do chalitza. By stating that chalitza is not necessary, Rabbi Tarfon was showing that he disagreed with Rabbi Yochum and Nuri's suggestion. So the rabbi who bought a fruit bowl as a gift in anticipation of marrying off his daughter's tzara and tovled it in Yehu's trough where the dividing wall was broken open, which reminds us Mar Zutra attempted to show that Beis Shammai followed their own opinion based on the following brisa. Maisa b'shokas Yehu sha'itz b'Yerushalayim. There was an incident with Yehu's trough in Yerushalayim, which was connected to an adjoining mikveh, and all the tower foods were prepared there, meaning that their kelim were immersed there. And Beis Shammai sent and widened it, for they held that it's not valid until the majority of the dividing wall is broken, so that the waters mix over a large area, not just through a hole. The Gemara rejects his proof, saying that one who sees the Talmud of Beis Shammai breaking open the wall of Yehu's trough would say that he's doing it to increase the amount of water in the trough. So the rabbi who bought a fruit bowl as a gift in anticipation of marrying off his daughter's tzara and tovled it in Yehu's trough where the dividing wall was broken open, refused to answer a shaila about whether Tzara Sabas is Mutter and Yibum out of fear that some people might want to crush his skull. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings another proof that Beis Shammai followed their own opinion. Yeshua was asked, Tzara Sabas Mahu, what is the halacha regarding the tzara of one's daughter? Is one permitted to her in Yibum? He answered, that Samalko is Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. And when pressed regarding who the halacha follows, he answered, Mifnei ma'atem machnisin roshi ben shnei harim gadoim. Why are you putting my head between two great mountains, between the two great factions of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel? Mis yarani shema yorotsu gogalti. I'm afraid they might crush my skull. Rashi explains that if he ruled in favor of Beis Hillel, then those who are rendered to be mamzerim might kill him. The Gemara explains that if you say Beis Shammai followed their own opinion, that's why Rabbi Yeshua was afraid that those rendered mamzerim might kill him. But if Beis Shammai followed Beis Hillel, what was he afraid of? So once again, the rabbi who bought a fruit bowl as a gift in anticipation of marrying off his daughter's tzara and tovled it in Yehu's trough where the dividing wall was broken open, refused to answer a shaila about whether Tzara Sabas is Mutter and Yibum out of fear that some people may want to crush his skull. All right, now it's time for four ball back Chazara. Dafyudov. So the symbol of Dafyudov is stars. So here goes. The Tsara of Asotavadai, who received a putter from Yibum Star, that must be more in Dafyudov. The Tsara of Asotavadai, who received a putter from Yibum Star, which reminds the Gemara brings Rav Yehuda, who said in the name of Rav, that a Tsara of Asota is putter from doing Yibum or Chalitza, which conflicts with the Brisa that states that if a woman goes into a seclusion with a man for the amount of time that takes for them to have relations, and Rashi explains this referring to when her husband had warned her not to do so, she's forbidden to her husband, and if the husband dies, then she does Chalitza. The Gemara answers that Rav can reply that he was discussing a case of Asotavadai, when it was certain that she had relations with the other man, and the Brisa was discussing a case when she had gone into seclusion with the man, but it's a suffix if they had relations. So that Tsara of the Sotavadai, who received a putta from Yibum Star, who was waiting to see if her friend, the Tsara of Amachzer Gushaso, would receive one too, which reminds us, the Gemara brings Malchokas between Yosi ben Kefar and the Chachamim regarding when is Amachzer Gushaso chayv? Is it only after Nisuan or after Erison as well? Which then leads to the question of what is the status of Atsaras Machzer Gushaso. So the Tsara of the Sota Vadai, who received a putter from Yibum Star, who was waiting to see if her friend, the Tsara of Amachzer Gushaso, would receive one too, overheard a basin standing by a pit of water tell a woman who was already ushered to a Kohen that she should be the one to do Chalitza, which reminds us that the brother wants to do Chalitza, which would puzzle the Chalutza from marrying a Kohen, and he has a choice of two Yavamas, and one of the women is permitted to marry Kohen, and the other one was forbidden to marry Kohen, he should do Chalitza with the Yavama who is already puzzled to the Kohuna. Rabbi Yosef, quoting Rebbe, explained the reason for this, Yishbach Adam may borrow about Cherim Srichim Lehem. One should not spill out the water of his pit if others need it, meaning that since he wants to do Chalitza, which would usher a Chalitza to a Kohen, he should do it to the Yavama who is already ushered to a Kohen, and let the other woman remain available to a Kohen. Daf Yud Beis. So the sin for Daf Yud Beis is 12 brothers. So here goes. When the 10 remaining brothers, that must be run Daf Yud Beis, 12 brothers. When the 10 remaining brothers became ushered to the Tsara of the Mema'enis, who did Miun after their brother's death, which reminds us, Rabbi Lubin Bar Mamo said in the name of Ukba, who said in the name of Shmuel, that a Tsara's Mema'enis is forbidden to the Yavam. The Gemara explains that the reason that she's forbidden to him is the Gezer Mishuma Tsara's Bita Mema'enis, a decree that was made because of the Tsara of a daughter who falls to Yibum and does Miun. Rashi explains that the case is when one's daughter, who is a Katana, falls to him for Yibum, along with an adult Tsara, and the daughter does Miun to her father. Since at the time they fell for Yibum, the Tsar appears like the Tsar of his daughter, who is an erva to her father, she's usher mid the Rabbanan, even though the daughter's Miun does uproot the marriage. The concern is that if we permit a Yavam to take a Tsar's Mema'enis in general, one might come to permit one to take a Tsar's Mema'enis when the one doing Miun is his daughter. So, when the 10 remaining brothers became usher to the Tsar of the Mema'enis, who did Miun after the brother's death, and to the Tsar's Ilanis of another brother, who always knew that his wife couldn't bear children, which reminds Ravasi says that a Tsar of an Ilanis is ushered because the Pasuk states, Vaya Bechor Asher Teled, and the firstborn that she gives birth to, which excludes an Ilanis being that she cannot give birth. Since an Ilanis cannot do Yibum, she's an Erva, and that Tsara is a Tsar's Erva. The Gemara asks that the Mishnah on Dabe says that a Tsar's Ilanis is Mutu to the Yavam. The Gemara answer is Lokasha Kancha Hikerba Kanshul Hikerba. Ravasi was discussing a case where the husband recognized his wife was an Ilanis when they got married, therefore the marriage was legitimate, and the Tsara is a Tsara's Ilanis, who is Pata from Yibum. Our Mishnah, on the other hand, is discussing a case where he did not realize that she was an Ilanis, and therefore the marriage is nullified and the Tsara is Mutter to the Yavam. The words of the Mishnah imply this as well, as it says, Shinim Su'u, they were found to be an Ilanis, and it does not say, Shahayu, they were. So, when the 10 remaining brothers became ushered to the Tsara of the Mema'enis, who did Miun after the brother's death, and to the Tsar's Ilanis of another brother, who always knew that his wife couldn't bear children, they tried to comfort their mother, who was famous for having given birth to her first son, when she was still a minor. Which reminds us, Rabbi taught a brisa in front of Rav Nachman, Shalosh Nashim Mishamshos B'moch, there are three women who may use cotton to prevent conceiving, Ketanah Uberes Umeinika, a minor, a pregnant woman, and a nursing woman. Ketanah Shema Tisabra V'Shema Tammuz, a minor may do this, as otherwise she may become pregnant, and she may die because of the pregnancy, which implies that some minors may become pregnant and not die. So there is a case of Chamoso Mema'enis, a mother-in-law who does Miun. Rashi explains that this is a case where a Ketanah gives birth to a daughter, and her husband gives the infant daughter away in marriage. The husband will have a mother-in-law who may do Miun. But the Mishnah on Daf Beis Amud Beis said that this case does not exist. Rav Safra answered, Banim Harihem Kisimanim. Children are like simanim, meaning signs of puberty, and therefore, once she gives birth, she cannot do Miun anymore. Daf Yud Gimel. The Simmer Daf Yud Gimel is a Bar Mitzvah boy, so here goes. After the Bar Mitzvah boy's brilliant pshetel on when an erva must die for a tzar to be mutter to do yibum, which reminds us Rabbi Yirmiyahu resolved the stira mishnayos regarding when an erva must die or get divorced for her tzar to be mutter for yibum, by explaining Misha Shanazo, Lo Shanazo, the one who taught this mishnah did not teach this mishnah. Hai Tana Savra Misa Mapelas. The Tana Bar Mishnah holds that the husband's death causes his wives to fall to yibum as long as a woman is not the tzar of an erva at the moment of a husband's death, she is chay for yibum. V'hai Tana Savra Nisum HaRishonim Mapilim. But the Tana, the other Mishnah holds that the original marriage causes his wives to fall to yibum. Therefore, if a woman was ever a tzar of an erva, she's pater from yibum. Rava reconciles the Mishnahs differently. So, after the Bar Mitzvah boy's brilliant pshetel on when an erva must die for a tzar to be mutter to do yibum, he shocked the crowd with Beis Shammai Shita that a tzara of an erva is always mutter to do yibum, which reminds us that the next Mishnah states, Beis Shammai matirin hatzaras la'achim u'beisila osrim. Beis Shammai hold that the tzaras of a rias may do yibum, and beisila say they are asu to do yibum. Rav Shimon ben Pasi explains that the reason Beis Shammai is because the Pasik states, otia eish zameisa chutz li'ish zar, the wife of the one who died, who is outside, should not go to a stranger. Chutzah makal de ikapnimi. Since the pasuk describes the wife as the outer one, meaning she's not related to the yavam, it implies there is an inner one who is related to the yavam, that being the erva. But amrachmana lotia, the pasuk's teaching that the outer one, who is the tzara of the erva, may not marry anyone else since she's subject to yibum. The Gemara continues explaining what Basilo do with the pasuk. So after the Bar Mitzvah boy's brilliant pshetel on when an erva must die for a tzara to be mutter to do yibum, he shocked the crowd with Beis Shammai Shita that a tzara of an erva is always mutter to do yibum, and solemnly concluded the pasuk of Los Yizkodidu and the hope that Kol Yisrael should not make separate factions. Which reminds the Gemara brings a whole back and forth between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan on the topic of Los Yizkodidu, which means Los Asu Agudos Agudos, you shall not make separate factions, as it applies in the Megillah being read on different days, Malacha being performed on Erev Pesach, and to our Mishnah with the Machlokas Beis Shammai Meisil regarding whether a tzar of an erva is mutter to do yibum. Daf Yud Dalet. So the Simmer Daf Yud Dalet is a hand, and we often use a juggler. So here goes. The juggler who started to juggle right after he heard a baskel announce whom the halacha follows, which reminds us. The Gemara says that Reish Lakish and Rav hold that Beis Shammai did not follow their own opinion regarding being matya, the tzaros of an erva, to do yibum, and Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel hold they did. The Gemara asks Amos, when did this Malchokas of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel take place? Ilei Makodim Baskel, if you say it was before Baskel announced that the halacha always follows Beis Hillel, then what would be the explanation of those who hold that Beis Shammai do not follow their own opinion? And if it was after the Baskel, then what would be the reasoning of those who hold that Beis Shammai did not follow Beis Hillel? The Gemara clarifies that the Malchokas could have taken place either before or after the Baskel, and each opinion would have a rationale for their position. So the juggler who started to juggle right after he heard a baskel announce whom the halacha follows entertained judges from two separate batei dinim in one city, which reminds us, the Gemara asks, according to those who say that Beis Shammai followed their own opinion, why was there no issue here of Los Yizkodidu, which means Los Asu Agudas Agudas, do not make separate factions? Rava answered that Los Yizkodidu only applies within one court when some of the judges follow Beis Shammai and some follow Beis Hillel. But in a case where there are two batei dinim in one town, where one follows Beis Shammai and the other follows Beis Hillel, there is no problem of Los Yizkodidu. So the juggler who started to juggle right after he heard a baskel announce whom the halacha follows entertained judges from two separate batei dinim in one city, and was delighted to see that despite all their disagreements, they still treated each other with chiba and reyus. Which reminds us, it was stated in a braisa that even though Beis Shammai Beis Hillel disagreed about being matir tzaros in the case of yibum and other halachos, Beis Shammai did not refrain from marrying women from Beis Hillel, and Beis Hillel did not refrain from marrying women from Beis Shammai. To teach you that they treated each other with affection and friendship to fulfill that which is stated, Ha'emes v'shalom ha'avo, love, truth, and peace. All right, now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions plus 3 bonus questions from previous Masechtas. And I'm going to go a little bit slower here because this is more challenging material. So here we go. Question number 1. Which daf did we learn? Banim harihem kisimanim. That's on daf Yud Beis. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we have the Maisa when the Talmud of Beis Shammai broke open the Shokas Yehu's trough? That's on daf Tezvav. Good. Number 3. Which depth do we learn about Rabbi Chiya's rule based on a case of four brothers, where two brothers are going to be miyabim, two sisters? That's on Daf. Test. Good. Number four. Which daf do we have a machlokes Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, whether it's only a love for the yavam to marry the chuzah, but karis for the brothers, or it's also just a love for the brothers? That's on daf. Yud. Good. Number five. Which daf do we learn why Rabbi Yeshua was afraid to paskin about Tzaras Habas and rule publicly if he held like Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel? That's on daf. Tezvav. Good. Number six. Which daf we have a malchus if the tzara of an erva is pater from yibum, even if the erva was divorced after he married the tzara, or only if he divorced the erva before he married the tzara? That's on daf. Yud Gimel. Good. Number seven. Which daf we learn that we do not say los hiskodudu when there are two batidinim in one town? That's on daf. Yadad. Good. Number eight. Which daf did we learn that despite disagreements, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel had Chiba and Reyes together? That's on daf. Yadad. Good. Number nine. Which daf did we learn that since two of the Arayas that are Aser to all the brothers are Imo, Be'eshas Aviv, it must be that Imo is referring to Anusas Aviv? That's on daf. Yud. Good. Number 10. Which daf even a question if the Machlokas, whether Beis Shammai followed their own opinion, happened before the Bas Kol regarding the halacha following Beis Hillel or after? That's on daf. Yud Dalet. Excellent. Now the three bonus questions. Number 1. Which daf do we learn that when leaving a deceased person, one says Lech B'Shalom, whereas leaving a living person, one says Lech L'Shalom? That's on daf. Chavtes and Mo'okatan. Good. Number 2. Which stuff do we learn that Kodesh Baruch Hu made Shmuel prematurely gray so that when he passed away so Shaul would die, no one would suspect Shmuel of wrongdoing? That's on daf. Hey and Tynus. Good. And number 3. Which stuff do we learn the source that the Torah can be written into Greek? That's on daf. Tess and Megillah. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichron sharing a great day and great learning.